I'm on the way to the Okura Estuary, right on the northern boundary of North Shore City, and just a kilometre or two further north from Long Bay, where we were yesterday with Dr. Richard Ford, talking about sedimentation. Now, Richard Ford is doing these studies on sedimentation for the Auckland Regional Council, so they can have an overview of the impact of urbanisation on our seacoast. This is particularly pertinent for the north of North Shore City here, where the last green area is destined to become housing suburb, but housing suburb that will hopefully be built with a lot more care. So the impact on its environment, particularly the Long Bay Regional Park in front of it, is lessened. Over here at Akura Bay, the plans are for housing, but with much larger pieces of land. But Richard Ford has been studying sedimentation over here too, and I'm following him in my car down to the estuary. Great. So this isn't very far from where we've just were before, is it? What?
No,
a couple of kilometres up the coast?
A couple of kilometres, really. Yeah. You've just come north and inland a little bit. So over there, if we're looking sort of in a south or east direction, we're sort of looking back to where we were standing, I think.
Right. So it's very countryside-ish, but there's actually quite a lot of houses dotted across the hilltops.
Sort of scattered across the hilltops at the moment. But the plans for there to be more of those, basically.
Are they? Yeah. Why have you looked at Okura particularly?
This is A, marine reserve, and B, it is an area, one of the areas around the coast where there is large-scale housing planned. And first of all, we started here by just trying to describe what communities are in the mudflats and sandflats. So areas where, for example, there are more cockles, or there are more worms or whatever.
Right.
And we sort of got a handle on that and what sort of reasons were likely to be responsible for that, which was mainly to do with what type of sediment there was, but it was also partly to do with what sort of sediment was collected in our sediment traps, so what sediment was falling out of the water column.
So what did you find here?
We found there areas where there are definitely, for example, less cockles, which was one of the things we thought might be impacted by sedimentation.
Mm-hmm. So the sedimentation is already affecting the cockles?
Well, cockles like living in areas that don't have too many fine sediments. The theory is that that's going to interfere with their feeding because they filter things out of the water column.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of the areas, particularly up inland there, where you've got muddier sediments, you find less cockles. Now, whether historically those areas weren't as muddy and there were cockles there and then they've died out, is a possibility, or it's a possibility that process has been happening over hundreds of years.
What's happened in the last 100 years, do you reckon, since the North Island here stopped being covered by kauri forests? And
well, there's definitely been we know there's been an increase in sedimentation. And some of the things like the fossil shell record tell us that there used to be things like cockles that were a lot bigger than there are today. So my guess is that we've got more, and this has been shown up by studies in places like Tasmania as well, we've got possibly a decrease in diversity from what there was, basically, to what there is now. Also, there's some key organisms, like in the Maharangi Harbour, that have seen a decline in horse mussel, Atrina densities, which is subtitle, what you've got to dive to get at. And they're a lot of animals live on top of those. So once you lose...
What do you mean on top?
Things like anemones, things like limpets that encrust upon those shellfish. So you've got a lot of animals, and animals that live in between the various shellfish. You've got a lot of animals that are reliant on those in terms of where they can live. So as soon as you lose one sort of species like that, then you're not just losing one thing. You're losing it. It's a whole chain reaction.
Yeah. It's a beautiful spot, though, isn't it?
It is a lovely spot, actually.
Yeah, it's hard to believe you're so close to the city.
Yeah, I know, and I think people want to keep it that way.
Yeah. Let's move out of the way. I think we have civilization coming.
Yeah, people put in boats just over here.
Oh, okay.
But you see, if you look past a couple of these channel markers, you can see a little yellow cross like this, straight out towards the yacht masts out there. That's where we've got one of our sediment traps. Oh. And basically, we started off looking at this estuary and trying to figure out what was going on here, and then we figured out that we thought we could detect if there was a change in a small part of the estuary, but if the whole estuary was impacted, we wouldn't really have a leg to stand on. So that's why we've started looking at other estuaries as well. We look at north of here, Arewa, Waiwera, Puhoi, and we look at Mangamangaroa and the Whitford Embayment down south, so that we have estuaries where the same impacts aren't happening. so we can isolate out whether this is just changing because there's a change in the whole region, or whether it's changing because there's something specifically different happening here.
Do you have to go out in boats then to get these traps?
Yeah, for the coastal subtidal ones, yeah, we zap along a little inflatable and go and pick those up about every sort of month.
Then you go back to Lee and collate them into your computer?
We go back to Lee and we process them and we sort of put them through sieves and find out what sort of size the sediments are, and then we put them in the computer and spend hours staring at the numbers. And eventually a report comes out and it goes to the regional council to tell them the sort of exciting bits out of the whole lot of that.
So how long will the study go on for then?
Well, the regional council's funding goes yearly on these, on everything, pretty much, or at least on this sort of stuff. And they've sort of said they're interested in this as a longer-term study. So I think it should go on at least till the development's finished, and then if there's any impacts, probably a little longer than that, to see how long any disturbances might follow on from there.
So we could be talking for another 20 years. I mean, the development could take 10.
The development could take 10. Yeah, you know, it's not a problem that's going to go away. So it might be that we can scale the monitoring down if we've got a good handle on things and we know how things work after the first few years. But, you know, if you've got ongoing large sort of impacts like of housing estates up the back of here, then, you know, you need to know if that's having an impact in terms of things like the Resource Management Act and council's responsibilities under there. So if they need to know, then somebody's got to provide them with that information.
But it's lovely when you can come down here and look at the sea and contemplate the peace of it all.
Yeah, I'm really down here when it's... we do most of our work at low tide, so I'm really down here when the tide's in, so it's actually really pleasant to be down here.
See how nice it looks.
Yeah, because we take kayaks in and we kayak up and down here on the channel, and then we get to our little spots and we hop out and we trudge around in the mud.
Okay, so there's a down
on it. It's not as bad as it sounds. It can be quite nice on a day like today, but unfortunately when we have to go out in the field isn't necessarily controlled by nice days.
So all this is quite proactive work then by the ARC, isn't it, getting the stuff financed?
Yeah, the ARC have actually been really proactive in terms of looking at the bigger picture questions. So they're trying to look at things like, in terms of coastal developments, what impacts are going to happen there, in terms of looking at things like shellfish populations. Mm-hmm. People are concerned that they can't necessarily go to their beaches and pick up cockles like they used to. So they've had meetings about that and trying to figure out what's the best way forward in terms of what scientific knowledge they need to know in terms to try and get to the bottom of that.
So we shouldn't be all grumpy about our rates then?
No, it'd be nice if they got some bouquets as well occasionally.
And this is such an ongoing, long life study that you can't get your 10% return on your investment, can you, when you pay for a study like this?
No, and it's hard to sort of sum it up in a few sentences because it is ongoing work. And it might be 10 years down the track before we can say anything really substantial about the impacts of increased sediment, if there is increased sediment here.
But if it wasn't, this study wasn't being done,
we would never know, basically. And it's easy to say that you should do things on land that aren't going to degrade the marine environment, but unless you take the measurements in the marine environment, how are you going to know? Because unless it's a really, really drastic change, people will only say, oh, Joe Bloggs has seen it in this situation, but somebody else hasn't seen it there, so who do we believe?
Exactly. Well, like we talk about the golden ages of our childhood when the fish were plentiful and, you know, the seawaters were sparkling. And
yeah.
How much of this is just fantasy?
How much of it's fond memories?
Yeah.
It's hard to know. I believe, you know, certainly, for example, with fisheries, there's been anecdotal evidence all over the world of fisheries declining, and some hard facts as well.
And that all has a... So the sedimentation here would eventually have an effect on fish stocks, wouldn't it? Because they'd lose their feed.
A lot of the juvenile feeding grounds, for example, are in estuaries. So if you have impacts upon the animals in estuaries, then that can have a knock-on effect on, say, juvenile flounder or juvenile snapper or whatever fishes are using those sorts of habitats. And then people would see it, but they might not see it for 10, 20 years.